So if you have a Bible, the passage I'm going to cover this morning is from 1 Corinthians 8 through to 1 Corinthians 11 verse 1. So it's a long passage and we're not reading it, but you might just want to have your Bibles open so you can check up really on what I'm saying. But as we start, I just want you to think, what's the first thing that you're going to do at the end of lockdown? You know, most of us, don't we? We dislike being controlled and we long for freedom. Maybe you remember as a child, the kind of pushing at the boundaries, the kind of, you've got to be in for eight. Well, maybe if I push it a little bit more, I can get another half hour or whatever. Or maybe, you know, at work, maybe you've got routines that make life a bit easier for you. You know, there was a time where when I was travelling about with work, I'd always make sure I had an appointment that was on a Friday afternoon, which meant it was too late at the end of the appointment to go back to the office. So the journey could begin home a little bit early. Or maybe, you know, in terms of lockdown, you're working out all the life hacks to get around all the restrictions. You know, I can exercise once a day. I can go to work and I can go to the shop. Great. So I'm going to walk to the shop. I'm going to cycle to work and then I can go out and do my exercise. You know, seeing what the rules are and then just seeing how we can do. Because we don't like rules, do we? We like freedom. Well, what does the Bible say? So in this passage, Paul is writing to the Christians at Corinth, and they're kind of living in a pagan world. And the questions they've got are, how do we live as Christians in this pagan world? Acts 15 had changed things at the Jerusalem Council, and those that had been seeking to make everyone Jewish, they'd been overruled in the main, and circumcision wasn't a thing anymore. But they had said you shouldn't eat meat that had been sacrificed to idols. Now in Corinth, this was a problem for them, because in Corinth, the meat market was surrounded by different temples. And really, if you were buying meat in the meat market, it had been sacrificed to some idol or other in one of those temples. So what were they to do? In addressing this, Paul starts by saying, well, you know, knowledge, what you know, can puff you up, but love builds up. You see, what he was saying about the knowledge is, we all know that idols are nothing. They have no power, because there is only one God. But that knowledge, and knowing that knowledge, isn't the only thing. What we've got to watch out for is those that we love. We can't simply just do what we know to be right, because our freedom has an impact on others. It's what we do with our freedom that matters. How will it matter to others? As Paul says here, if we exercise our freedom and it becomes a stumbling block, then others might have their faith impacted negatively. And that's not a good place to be. And so as he moves on, he contrasts his rights versus the responsibility that he had to the church. We all have a responsibility for others. Paul says he's got rights as an apostle. He's got a right to various things. And he says, but he didn't use that right. Actually, in verse 12, he says, we did not use this right. And in verse 15, but I have not used any of these rights. He says in verse 19 of chapter 9, though I am free, I make myself a slave to everyone. He contrasts that view that he's got the freedom, but he chooses to restrict his freedom for the sake of others. That's a little bit like the situation we're in at the moment, isn't it? We could say, well, We should be meeting in our church buildings. We should be praying. Why should the government stop those kind of things? But we restrict our freedom for the good of others. It wouldn't look good, would it, if the church was to be a source of disease and people to die because of our trust in God? You see, sometimes we can put so much trust in God that we forget that God has given us a brain to work things out. He's given us freedom. He's given us choices. And our choices impact other people. It's not just me. It's not just you. It's the people that we meet and the people that live around us that matter. And that's so much of everything. If you think about social media, you know, we're on Facebook, we're using social media for good. And it can be a good thing. But some research by the American Society of Pediatricians says that actually social media can have a negative impact on young people because they don't have the level of self-control that others have. And this, in the end, means that what is manifest on social media is a heightened sense of bullying, of undermining, of identity and intimidation. And it leads to higher anxiety and depression amongst young people. So we have rights. We can do whatever we want, but our responsibility is to make sure that we're caring for others. In chapter 10, Paul then begins to talk about warnings from the past. He reminds people of what happened in ancient Israel. The Israelites had left Egypt. They all saw the miracle of Passover. They all saw the miracle of the splitting of the Red Sea. They saw the miracle of the water coming out of the rock. They were all together witnessing God at work. And yet many turned away. They all, as it says, drank the same spiritual drink, but it didn't have the same impact with all of them. And so he says, do not be like them. Do not be idolaters. Don't go after the things of the world. He says, don't be immoral. And he says, don't grumble. You see, when we do those things, we undermine the good things that God has put within us. But we've got some great news. The great news is that we're not bound by the same things that they were bound with in the Old Testament. Jesus came, Jesus showed us the way, and he died on the cross to buy our freedom. We were enslaved by all kinds of things, and Jesus sets us free on the cross. Romans 8 verse 1 says, there is now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. That means we're free. There is no condemnation. But that doesn't mean there aren't consequences of our choices. We mustn't allow others to stumble when we make the choices that we make. So what does Jesus ask of you this morning? I think his question is the same as it was for any of the disciples that he met. And it's simply this: will you follow me? That's what Jesus is saying today, just as he said in the past, will you follow me? So what does that look like? What does it look like to follow Jesus? Well, I was thinking of lots of examples, and there are so many around that it would be, you know, it's hard to choose. But the one I've chosen this morning is one that you probably know from the film Chariots of Fire, and that's Eric Liddell. In the 1924 Olympics, he decided not to run in the 100 metres, which was his favourite event he was almost a surefire to get the gold at that. But the reason he didn't run was the heats were held on a Sunday. And the problem for Eric was that he was a lay preacher and a missionary, and he got preaching appointments on the Sunday. And so in order not to let people down, he chose to sacrifice his freedom for them. He gave up the chance of a gold medal in the 100 metres. He decided to run in the 400 metres, which wasn't his favourite event. It's a much longer event, but the heats were in the week. And so he ran in the 400 metres and he won gold in that event. After the Olympics, he had some time, and then a year later he returned to the mission field in China. And he stayed in China for the rest of his life, until 1945, when he actually died in a Japanese internment camp. You see, his life was lived for Jesus. And people say, well, what did he achieve? Well, he achieved lots. And the work that he did in China is remembered to this day. At the before the Beijing Olympics, the Chinese authorities talked about what a great man Eric Liddell had been. Now, we don't know whether this is true, but it's what the Chinese authorities put out at the time, is that Eric Liddell had the chance to leave that Japanese internment camp, and he chose not to, but to let someone else go in his place. In the 1980 Olympics, and I've forgotten the guy's name, Alan. He won gold for the UK at the 1980 Olympics in Moscow. And when he was asked who he was running for in that 100 metres, was it for Abrahams, who'd won the gold in 1924? He said he was the last British man to do that. He said, no, I didn't run for the memory of Harold Abrahams. I ran for the memory of Eric Liddell. Eric Liddell touched people's hearts. His life was lived following Jesus. So what does that look like for me and for you? Well, a simple thing could be just taking care of what we put on social media, what we like, what we share, what we say. We have to think, don't we? How will others see it? Does it bring glory to God? If what you're sharing is going to cause people to stumble, maybe it's time to rein in your freedom and take responsibility for what you put on your social media. Maybe it's to do like Herbert and so many other key workers, choosing to continue to do those essential jobs, to put yourself in harm's way. It may be to continue volunteering to help the most vulnerable, you know, to keep coming and helping in food bank. It could be to keep on doing what you've been doing. It could be that you're one of the hundreds of thousands of NHS volunteers visiting people's homes with prescriptions and food. Maybe that is your opportunity to share and to take Jesus with you. But for some of you, you need Jesus to set you free. You see, the problem is we think we have freedom and we make wrong choices, and the choices we make end up sometimes enslaving us. Maybe you're trapped by addiction. Maybe you're trapped by fear or guilt. You need to be set free. And the only one who can set us free from those things is Jesus Christ. Why not consider what Jesus has done? What he did when he went to that cross? He did it to buy your freedom. So if you're not free, he can set you free. It's simple. Because when you lean on him. When you cry out to him, he sends the Holy Spirit to live within you. The Holy Spirit is known as the Comforter, the Counselor, the Helper. If you need a Comforter today, if you need a Counselor today, if you need a Helper today, reach out to Jesus and he will send the Holy Spirit. So I ask, what will you do? So we pray. Father God, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he came to set us free. We thank you that he calls us still to follow him, to live our lives free, but taking responsibility for our actions, taking responsibility for all that we do. And I just want you to now imagine what the world might be like if we took Jesus at his word, if we began to follow him, if we took responsibility for others, if we decided we'd curtail our freedoms for the sake of others. Imagine a different world at the other side of this crisis. A world where we give up some of our freedoms for the good of all. Maybe this time will help us recognize what is good, what is right, and to hold on to those things. That we might transform our communities, that we might transform our world, and it might be healed and restored in Jesus' name. Amen.